And welcome to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. It's me, Joe Hilliard, and I'm with...
Aislinn Campbell.
And my God, it feels like a lot's happened since the last time we got together.
Yeah, it's been a lot of week.
It's been a week. If we had the rights to play Dylan's Hurricane, that's when the music would go off right now. This is the story of a hurricane. Since we last spoke with you, Corpus Christi,
here
Texas,
comes.
Yeah, 120 miles south of us, a Category 1 hurricane made landfall.
Yep. It was an experience. We did not have any real repercussions.
Mm-mm. Our power did not go out.
Yeah, our power didn't go out.
Made landfall far enough away where there was no severe wind damage.
There was a few scrabbly tree limbs.
Yeah.
Things that just fall
Hunter,
out of a tree
go
anyway.
Pick up the tree limbs.
Right, yeah.
No big deal.
Yay.
He doesn't complain. I'm gonna hate to see him go. Maybe we can talk about that.
I get really involved when weather is happening. I'm very interested in weather. And it's how I manage my anxiety. Like, I'm either pacing or I'm with the storm trackers, like watching the lives and trying to like engage in it myself and find out what's going on and explain where the storm is actually going. And
yeah, that's one thing about social media that you can't knock. The live videos, people on the scene, folk, you were watching one all day.
Yeah, I was watching a farmer's daughter. She had created a watch party for a weather tracker. So it was a lot of parents and teachers that are a part of that London school district area, because London is a very agricultural, rural school district. That's where my kids go to school. The whole conversation was interesting because I was watching the way the agriculture was reacting to this storm. Cotton fields are full and blossoming with cotton right now.
It's bad timing for a hurricane.
And we got the part of the hurricane which creates the most water. Mm-hmm. So that's what we were really watching out for. And then on top of that, the thing that affected our area the most is that it sat on the coast, or it went at a really, really slow speed, almost stalled, and it pummeled the coast with storm surge and wave, and it broke up our beaches.
One of our big tourist piers got demolished.
I saw some of Debbie Noble's pictures. Every like man-built thing on our beaches right now is just flat.
Yeah, it's our second hurricane together.
It is. The first hurricane was a big whopper.
That came in hot.
We went north of us, which meant that we got the wind pressure.
Right.
And we were actually in an eye wall of it where we were located at on the farm. My dad has made the farm into a hurricane shelter for our family, and he just improves it with every hurricane that comes through.
Yep.
So that was a completely different experience, but our coastal towns a little bit more northeast basically just got flattened. It was pretty bad. It was pretty bad. It was a Category 5.
Well, we were spared that. July 25th, 2020, we're going to remember it forever. Hurricane Hanna, a Category 1 this time.
And it certainly didn't really affect us too much, and we're very thankful for that. Okay, well, I think that we have at least one, if I recall...
Unanswered questions.
Last week, we talked about intermittent fasting a bit. I think maybe I've mentioned it a couple times now. And we said that we'd bounce back to it.
This week, yeah.
And one of the things that we do is, well, you do, let's get real, is you go out and research the unanswered questions so that when we come back to the dinner table, we've got some research that we've pulled with information about what we talked about.
Want to be an authority? Want to answer that question? I've got it all right here.
Well, this week... I would love it if you would throw all that research out.
Whatever you say.
Let's talk about...
How we got here.
Yeah, how did we get here? How did we get into the intermittent fasting?
Okay, I love it. How did it begin?
My mom had been for years and years and years, probably all my life, looking for the right diet to match her lifestyle, to focus on her health. And this one came across her radar, and she dug into it over a year ago. It made a huge difference in her life. It changed everything for her. And she has felt better physically and has been as thin as I've ever known her. So then she encouraged my dad to do it.
Well, your dad started doing it. And then an amount of time went by that I didn't see them for a while for whatever reason. And then they show up and it's like Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are walking in the room.
They both committed to it and it became a part of their life. And last year, we traveled across the country together. We flew to Maine and then drove all the way across the country together. And because of that, I got to be a little bit on their schedule.
Not exactly, but
because we were together, because we were in the car together, you know. But one thing that happened that really affected my, whether I would like continue down that path after having been on vacation with them and kind of beginning to get a little bit adjusted to it, was that I started dealing with that thyroid issue.
Yeah, they intersected, those two events. Uh-huh.
And then it scared me a little bit because I thought, well, maybe I've done something weird to my hormones, you know? At the same time, I also started seeing a naturopath. I had lost so much weight that the naturopath was like, you have to eat like 5 meals a day. I mean, like it was ridiculous. Eat every 2 hours.
Yeah, and the other intersection was that was right at the beginning of the podcast about food.
Right.
Like, so let's start the podcast and then let's quickly shift a few episodes in into a grain-free diet.
Right, exactly. And the diet that he had me eating was no grain, but it was like heavy meat, heavy cheese, heavy protein. And I started gaining a ton of weight. And then I was taking thyroid medicine that like switched my thyroid back. So I started putting on all this weight and that was so weird to me. And so when I moved back the other direction towards getting kind of feeling like I needed to get my life back on track and everything, I mostly cut grain out of my life and decided, you know what, I'm going to give this intermittent fasting a real try. But even with the work, that corporate job that I had where you worked all, I would be running all day working and not willing to take the time out of my day to take a lunch break because it just felt like such a waste of time. Well, after I quit that job, I was like, you know what, I think I'm just going to stay on this track of not eating during the day.
It was working for you.
Yeah, it was
working
for me.
Things were adjusting. It seems to me as an observer, you had lost all that weight and then you gained all that weight. Mm-hmm. And the balance was coming in part from an intermittent fast.
Yes.
I think it moved from non-intentional into intentional.
Yes.
Because it was working for you.
Yes.
And it was mirroring what had worked so well for your folks.
Yes. And it was just making life a little bit easier because I had gotten to the idea where it was like, you know, I don't really want to eat in the middle of the day. I'm weird about food anyways. I don't heat food up. I don't really want lunch. I don't want that. I say all of that because it kind of started a snowball happening here in the house, I think. We just weren't eating during the daytime.
Well, I noticed that you didn't require food at lunch. Mm-hmm. And if there were no kids here, we've got a schedule where kids come and go. I was able to adjust, and I didn't even do it purposefully. It's all been very organic. She isn't eating at lunch. I don't need to make something for her tomorrow at lunch, or I don't need to double up a recipe to make leftovers, or I don't need to da-da-da-da. And what has slowly happened is that I've adopted this whole thing. If it worked for Vicky, and it worked for Paul, and it worked for Aislinn, and we're going to eat together when we're in the home, let me give it a go.
Yeah, I think a few weekends into Corona where we weren't eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. No one was eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. And so then it was just like it just got later in the day. And then it was like we were trying to force breakfast in and then make a huge meal for lunch. And I was like, why are we doing that?
If you intend on making some big change to your diet, make sure that you've got all the research done that you need to with all the sources that you need to before you do. And the most popular way that people get introduced to this is called the 16-8, meaning that you fast for 16 hours and your sleep schedule is a part of that. And then you can eat for an 8-hour window. And that's pretty much what we do, except that our window is not from, say, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. And then you stop eating at 9 p.m. if that is your 8-hour window. But our window begins around what? What would you say for you?
Because I'm so thin and I lost weight so fast that I don't...
And you're very, very active. You're burning calories.
Yeah, I'm very active. I'm out just in your sweat. Job. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It depends on what my body's asking for. And here's the thing. So my mom mentions that a lot of times people will say that it's not working because they still feel hungry. But that's because their body hasn't broken through that...
The adjustment of it.
Right. Yeah. The adjustment of it.
Sure.
Where your body is craving the sugars and craving the fats and all of that.
It's craving your habits.
And then it's craving your habits. You're right. Like sometimes people will say, well, I feel nauseous. And so because I feel nauseous, I have to eat. But one of the things I'll teach you is that if you feel nauseous, drink water, wait a few minutes, and then it'll pass. What that is it's basically your body switching over to burn fat. Well, number one, if my body doesn't have that much fat to burn, when it gets nauseous, it stays nauseous. And if it stays nauseous, then I'm like, there's something I have to do about that. But I don't eat breakfast anyways. And so it's not that hard for me. One other thing that I absolutely learned was don't eat anything in the morning. Don't put any sugar in your coffee. Don't put cream in your coffee.
Don't put calories in your coffee.
Don't take one little bite of something because it's just enough to trigger.
Triggers it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then you're hungry again. And because I'm so body aware, I know what my body is really craving and needing. I know what my body's, I know when something's wrong. I know when something's right. You know, I'm very good with that. I follow what my body needs. Sometimes hormones affect me. Okay. That's one thing I keep in mind. It doesn't affect me the same way that it affects other people. Other women need to eat more during their PMS time before their period.
I see.
Okay.
We're talking about periods now. Okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's reality. Yes, we've talked about all kinds of things, and it's the reality of our life. You know, I'm not certain that we'll talk about. No, we've probably talked about it at the dinner table. I think we have. We have three females in the house, and two of them are teenage girls. What I've shifted in my life, which has made it solid and easy for me, is I eat one meal a day. They call them OMADs. One meal a day. Now, I might break fast at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock in the evening. It depends on when my body says
I need something
right now. Mm-hmm. I'm particular about making
sure. It's not that bag of chips looks great.
No. And sometimes if it's boredom, if it's dehydration, I just start with that. So at noon, I feel hungry because a habit would have been to eat lunch. It's noon. And I'm like,
well, three meals a day. Water. Breakfast is the most important of the day.
But I'm not a three meals a day type of forever.
These concepts are interesting and radical.
Well, when you eat the way we eat, then that means that there's a lot of cooking required in order for that to happen. And then the other thing of it is that if you go out to eat somewhere, you're going to eat at the most expensive restaurant in town because that's the place that's going to have the highest quality food, right? So when you eat a diet the way we eat a diet from the farmer's market and all of that, your food has a higher price to it and takes more time.
We're recording on farmer's market night. To many of the vendors, I was basically setting them up for, we'll be spending less because we are down to one meal a day plus what you're talking about, the break fast.
Yeah.
So I might take six of the eggs from the chickens and make sure that they're always in the refrigerator hard-boiled.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just pop a hard-boiled
and
egg.
Jerky. And jerky. Basically, I break fast with a charcuterie.
There's a lot more charcuterie around our house. But I was telling the vendors, yeah, we're doing the intermittent fasting. It's really, really working well. And that means we're consuming less meat. We're consuming less everything.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to invade the show.
Right. Just like grain-free diet invaded
the show. Yeah, this is going to invade the show. So what I'm excited to think about is if we're going to do one meal a day, it's going to be badass.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's going to be leftovers of something badass.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there is a long and winding road of a story that gets us to a fantastic seafood dish that I've never made before. It begins with your daughter's birthday.
It does. My baby girl turned 16.
That's got to be hard to believe.
I don't know if hard to believe is the right way to say it, but it is weird to be sitting in the passenger seat while she's driving a car. And I swear it has not been that long ago since I birthed that baby. You know, if you just think about life, 16 years is not that long ago.
And to get your sweet 16 birthday, the big 16 in Corona times, that's a bummer too.
Yeah. So I've been talking to her over the weeks, like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Nothing, nothing, nothing. And I said, okay, well, can we at least go out to the farm? And we've been doing a lot of seafood boils. Let's do a seafood boil.
Here's what's going to happen when Corona finally dries up and goes away.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to change much, and we're still going to use the farm as celebration points. I mean, I was thinking about in the show, like how many times the farm has been a celebration point for us. And a bulk of the show has been during Corona time. So you're talking Father's Day charcuterie back in episode 43.
Uh-huh.
We did the fish fry out there back in episode 28. I think pre-Corona was the crawfish boil that we did out there in episode 23. Christmas lunch, of course, episode 18.
Yeah.
There is a trend here.
Uh-huh.
We like to go to the farm, eat at the farm, and oftentimes we do seafood.
Yeah.
So we've already talked about a seafood boil, and that was the Mother's Day back in episode 37. But this seafood boil was a little bit different because we were tasked with actually going to get the seafood that we were going to boil.
And one of the things that came up whenever Lily and I started talking about it was that she had mentioned that she really liked scallops. Well, no one in our family ever really eats scallops, and she apparently eats scallops a lot with her dad. That's one of the things she likes. So I talked to my dad and I said, we should probably go get the seafood because we're closer to it and it's my daughter's birthday.
Sure.
So it was real particular about the whole thing. You have got to go over there on Friday, get your ice chest, pack the seafood in ice, and make sure that you let me know how much the cost was, you know, because he wants to share and help us out with that.
I will never buy seafood at the grocery store again. Because I walked into, and I'd been there once before, but they'd done a complete remodel. I walked into a locally owned seafood place, Paul's, if you live in Corpus Christi.
Mm-hmm.
It is just awesome. They have anything that you can imagine that makes sense on ice. I could have bought octopus that day.
I like octopus.
I don't know about a seafood boil, though. I think we might want to prepare it a little bit differently.
Did they have the baby octopus?
They had it all, baby. They had it all.
I want to do that.
So the order was Dungeness crab clusters.
They were great.
Clusters meaning that they take off the head and the guts and all that. It's
and they just pre-boil it too, apparently.
Then snow crab clusters. Then a bunch of shrimp. And then, of course, the scallops for Lily.
Yep.
I was like a kid in a fish store. And I got everything that we needed. I packed it in that ice, bought extra ice because we were going to have to get it through the hurricane to the day after the hurricane. And then the day of the party on Sunday, we headed out to where your folks, when they like doing something, they make sure they have all of the tools they need to do it. And they used to do their seafood boils in like an outdoor propane container. You've seen these things, and they've got like a boiling pot. And you put your water, and you put your seasonings, and you put your special magic ingredients. And then you dump all of the seafood in there and cook it for the appropriate time. But they have upgraded to a professional boiler. It's got the basket on the hinge that dumps it down the ramp into the thing.
And now that we've had these boils close enough together with king crab and Dungeness crab and snow crab, it's been easier for me to really decide which ones I like the best. And I like the Dungeness crab. That's my favorite.
We don't have that fancy machine that they got, but we could totally duplicate that here at the house.
Well, sure. But it's kind of fun to save it for celebrations.
That's true. So I bought like a pound and a half of scallops. And you don't throw those into the boil. Scallops are delicate and they will just fall apart if you throw them into a boil along with the crab and the shrimp.
Truth be told, I don't really know anything about scallops.
That's your question.
Right? But I was excited that Lily had said this is something I really, really like.
Well, and it's her birthday
girl.
Yeah, exactly. If she wants scallops and we can obtain them, and we did, we are going to prepare them. Of course, I quickly found a recipe. Butter, garlic, lemon on the stove, quick sear on both sides, fairly simple. I wasn't super happy with the outcome. We're just going to try again.
Right.
But they didn't come out quite the way I wanted them to.
Well, and also in your defense, I think that the freshness may have made a difference.
That's
so like
true.
Next time we cook scallops, like get the scallops fresh from the market,
bring them home and cook them.
Yeah, cook them that day. Now, Lily and her dad, where they go out to eat scallops, they actually did that the next night. So they celebrated her birthday again. But they use a salt block there.
Right, a Himalayan pink salt block.
Yeah.
And they cook it on that salt block.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if that's something that we should look into, not just for scallops, but just to have that tool in the kitchen. Sounds kind of fun.
Well, Clay mentioned that he had one that he'd never used before. So you know how those appliances in the kitchen happen from time to time like that.
Yeah, but maybe Lily can sneak it in her duffel bag on the way over here and nobody would be the wiser.
Right, I'm sure. Because it was Lily's birthday, I wanted to make sure that her dad and her dad's family was invited to come over. And so we invited Clay, which is really nice because we were together fairly young, you know, and so my parents and brother and Clay and everybody were, you know, close. And so that it was fun to be able to hang out with him and be around him and Lily together.
It's a blessing to have good relationships with our exes.
Yeah. I mean, you have that same kind
of
thing.
It is just part of our life.
When we took and dropped Hunter off at college last year, we were there with your ex-wife and her boyfriend.
Yeah.
And so it's nice to have those kind of relationships where we can make those types of things happen. I really appreciate that. And then one of the things that we had to do...
Had to do
was to get a cookie cake for Lily because, you know, we're trying really hard to make a real celebration because it's a 16-year-old uh-huh. who's not getting to have a birthday party,
and
basically.
If this wasn't Corona's time, there'd be some kind of big blow.
There would have been some kind of thing, yeah. And so I said, do you want a cake? Nana wants to get a cake. Let's get a cake. What do you want? And my kids don't really like cake, but they like cookie cake.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. So I go, do you want a cookie cake? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay, we're having a cookie cake. I mean, we're literally talking about a $9 cake
from the
grocery store. That is just what makes them happy. You know, like, I love that.
Between that and one meal a day, I'm flush.
Right? It's quite nice. And then, okay.
Well, where did the cookie cake tradition come from?
I don't really know. It's just what it is.
Yeah.
Every birthday. I mean, and I can even go back through the years, pictures and pictures and pictures, and the cake was always a cookie cake for both of my kids. And then years where I made, like, cookie cakes,
right.
You remember that I made a pizza for Cortland?
Yeah.
It was a cookie pizza.
Right.
And I made the sugar cookie was the pizza dough, I guess. And then, you know, went and bought all these
things that resembled
sugar
normal,
candy things to try to make
toppings.
It look like a pizza topping. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
That was
I liked
a lot of fun.
That. Every once in a while, I get a creative bug and try to pull something out of my rear. But my mom has got a lot of cooking creative coming out of her rear.
Every time you go to their place, hey, I've made 17 different things. Would you like to try them?
Yes. So she had taken one of the last harvests of figs. I'm hoping that maybe tomorrow there might be a few more so that I can harvest a few more so that she'll make this again. But she made grain-free, no sugar added Fig Newtons. They were so freaking good.
They were delicious.
I really, really liked them.
I should have gone and said, hey, I need a glass of milk with these. Because I would have dunked that in milk and it would have just been like a perfect experience.
That's odd. I would.
Why is that on?
I don't know. I don't want to dunk
anything.
You
don't dunk Oreos in milk? I know you don't eat Oreos. No. Yeah. But in a past life, you never dunked anything in milk? Anything?
Yeah, no,
kind of cookie or a treat?
Like a really, really heavy chocolate chip cookie. But I mean,
exactly.
I don't eat that way. So it's not.
So it's not at all?
If I'm going to dip a cookie in something, mm-hmm. it's going to be coffee.
Well, I told your mom that Fig Newtons. Do you like Fig Newtons? I was like, I love Fig Newtons. I don't eat Fig Newtons. We don't buy Fig Newtons.
No.
But when it comes to store-bought cookies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cookie. It's a Newton.
it's a cake.
It's Fig Newtons and ginger snaps.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized how old-fashioned that is. What about you? If you had your favorite store-bought cookie, every store-bought cookie is available.
No.
You're going to cheat and eat
some. No. No, I'm not.
Oh, now this is holier than
that. Chocolate chip, peanut butter, chocolate. But I don't like grocery store cookies. I don't like fake cookies. I don't like Chips Ahoy.
So if someone's going to make a fake...
It used to be Oreos, but even the thought of eating an Oreo right now disgusts me.
The film?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I couldn't. There's no way. Macarons. Bring me those from the farmer's market. Oh, I'll tell you the cookies that I'll eat pre-made from the store. They come from, which we don't have this market here anymore, but a world market. It's a big red tin.
We got those at Christmas time.
It's some kind of a snap.
It's a ginger snap.
It's a ginger snap.
But it's like paper
super thin.
Ooh.
I liked cookies when I ate that crap. I ate Chips Ahoy and Oreos and Toll House, whatever.
I guess that would have been the question. In a previous life, what would your... Because it's the same thing for me. I'm not going to buy a bag of ginger snaps. I'm not going to buy a bag of Fig Newtons.
It was Oreos, I guess.
Yeah.
And double stuffed Oreos, though. Like, I had to have the extra greasy...
the extra pig fat.
Gross. It's not even pig fat anymore.
Yes, your daughter started...
No, it's not. They're vegan. No, those are vegan. They're vegan.
Oh, they don't do pig fat anymore.
No, they do like plastic fat.
Call it the plastic you can eat.
After my mom made these Fig Newtons... My mom is funny. We were actually joking about this the other day that she like needs approval. So she's like, did you taste my Fig Newtons? Did you like them? I made them. I grew the figs. I dried the figs. Don't they taste good? And then she says it to the next person that walks into the house. And then finally, Lily goes, Nana, I hear you. I see you. I love you. I hear you.
Did she get it?
I see you. Of course she did. Of course. We all laughed, you know.
That's awesome.
And then when we were talking about it the other day again, she just laughed. She says, "That Lily, she's funny." She is funny. She's real funny.
I do that. Like I'll come in, mow the yard.
Hey, Joe.
Yes?
So when you run a business, especially if you're a new business owner like me, you have so many different hats to wear.
I know.
Right. I guess you do know that.
And then you got to fake it sometimes.
And it just can get so overwhelming. Well, I got to a place with some technical issues the other day where I really just needed some help. And so I called my friends at Quick Start. And believe me, it was absolutely the right call. Quick Start is a technology business service company with services and solutions geared toward businesses.
Sounds perfect.
I'm not their biggest customer by any stretch, but they've already helped me solve not only some software issues, but also some hardware problems. And the follow-up customer service, it was like divine intervention. Technology can be really expensive. Quick Start solutions, however, helped me save time, save money, and eliminate the headache that was definitely coming. So hey, all you listeners out there, check out poweredbyquickstart.com because Joe is glad I did.
Poweredbyquickstart.com.
So at the dinner table last night, the conversation of getting back to school came up because Lily started school today.
School's here already? And that's also a blur of what day is it?
Has July felt like forever to you? July has felt like the longest month to me. Yeah, but I think the London School District and the London parents were ready to go back to school.
Oh, really?
You know, I mean, I think we had a spike here. And at that point, also funding. And I mean, that's the reason why they have not been able to make any decisions till the last minute is because they haven't been given any direction on what to do and what they're actually going to get paid to do.
Yeah.
And that's how the school system works.
So the first 6 weeks of school, if I understand, she'll be online only.
Right. What she said was, they finally gave us a little bit of information. And basically, it's that we go to this class and this class and this class on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And we go to this class and this class and this class on Tuesday, Thursday. Mm-hmm. But really, I only have two classes each day because I'm a junior and I only have a certain number of classes at this point. So she's got her little desk in there, her little beauty stand or whatever. And she has her laptop set up in front of it. And all of a sudden, I hear what sounds like school type of conversation, different. And I walk into her door and I look at her and I'm like, can I take your video just for like 1 second, please, so I can tell people you started school? And I saw all the parents all day trying to make their kids do school, first day of school
creeping
pictures.
Around the corner. Like,
all the moms out there in the world have first day pictures for the last
oh, God, you're right.
Did
y'all
years?
Go out into the front yard and get in front of the tree?
No,
and
she wouldn't, nothing. She wouldn't let me.
Because there's no reason to put on a cool new outfit.
No.
I don't have cool new sneakers. I don't have a cool
she
new backpack.
She does have cool new sneakers. She does have a cool new backpack. She does have a cool new watch.
Well, then you've got to convince her to pose for a picture in front of that. We
she
we
won't.
Promise
you know
not
she
to
won't.
Put it on the Dinner Table Talks Facebook page.
You know she won't. She won't. But so that conversation was happening. Then, in addition to that conversation,
I hadn't even thought of that. Today would have been the day.
That's
the first
you didn't
of
notice
two rounds.
All the kids, moms. I guess you don't have all the London moms on your Facebook feed.
I don't.
And they were funny. They were weird. And they were like, one mom had their kids like wrestling. That was like, that was the school picture this year.
They ended their school year prior to the summer doing this kind of stuff. But now we've had the summer off to wonder what school was going to be. Will this come and go? But you're right. We had big spikes in our part of Texas just prior to the school year. So things are pushed off. I wonder what it's like for them now doing the online compared to when they were doing it at the last part of last year.
Well, that was definitely much more formal. Now, she's also still
it
just said, like, they didn't tell us this. They didn't tell. No, they haven't really. And the reason they haven't is what I said a while ago, which is that they haven't been given the directions that they have to follow in order to get the funding, in order to pay the bills.
So what did she say her first day of school was today?
She went to two classes. I heard the complaints that she was giving to her friends after classes were over with about they didn't do this and why didn't they do that?
You said the teachers were eager to get back. Do you think that Lily is?
Oh God, they were eager to get back.
She wanted to get back.
They were eager to.
Got to wear a mask or whatever I got to do.
Exactly.
I just want to get back.
I
want
to get out of
my
house. Yes. Yes.
I know how she feels.
Now the other conversation that came up at dinner last night about school, going back to school, was Hunter, and Hunter is heading back to college. Cortland, who's already there, and you have to think about this in terms of like, okay, here comes the fall semester of college. Cortland, normal, somewhat living as normal a life as you can live by doing your fish camp counselor work on Zoom, doing your job.
Fish camp is freshman camp at the school that they go to?
Yes. And so he's like literally doing the camp that they would have done and that they did last summer with Hunter.
They're doing fish camp on Zoom.
On Zoom. That's how they did it this year. Yeah.
Oh my God, what a weirdo tradition break for that school, Texas A&M and College Station.
Oh, yeah.
The fish camp is a big deal. All the schools probably have some freshman camp, whatever they call it. They're doing it on Zoom.
Yep, yep. That's what he was doing this week.
How can that be?
I called him and talked to him a little bit about the podcast last week because, you know, we goaded him, but he's had fish camp. So I expect to hear from him in the future. At some point, he's going to call us.
He's going to answer the question about midichlorians in the Force.
Exactly. I'm going to call him out on it again. But either way, we talked about the fact that Hunter and Cortland are moving in together this
year.
That's
interesting.
Hunter's headed to college here in the next week and a half.
Well, the portion of his freshman year that he got to have on site was in the dorm.
Mm-hmm. So he had to come home when Corona started because they kicked him out of the dorm, basically.
So now he's moving into his first apartment.
It was almost like a gap year, but with school.
Exactly.
And not as cool because he wasn't in Europe backpacking.
Exactly. That would have been pretty cool. I don't know if that would have been cool this year. But yeah, they're moving in together. What do you think about that?
I think it's great.
I think it is.
I'm very happy about it.
Your brother asked a question when we were discussing this at the seafood boil. Oh, do they like each other that much?
Yeah, they were close friends, like brothers, totally. They lived in the same room together. Mm-hmm. So in every house
they had to like each other or hate each other.
Yeah.
They decided to like each other.
In both of the houses we lived in together, we had 3 bedrooms for the kids. When I moved in, I was like, the girls go in separate bedrooms. You're like, what? No, they're young. No, the girls go in separate bedrooms. Why? Because they're girls. Trust me. The boys can share a room.
And that was the right call.
And the boys were perfect. And they went to school together. It was easy for them to be close. And they didn't have all the same friends. They weren't together all the time. They acted like brothers.
See, I see Hunter jumping at the idea of being with an upperclassman. And I think it's more curious to me that Cortland, your son, who's older, wants to be with him.
I think that Cortland has found his own way to make it outside of who he's living with. And what he wants at home is easy life. He wants an easy place to study. And he wants people that are going to be around and that he wants to talk to. You know, and he's real particular about home life. And him and Hunter grew up together, so they know what it's like to live together. Yeah. You know, they grew up living together. I think they'll cook more together when both of them are there.
I'm trying to cram in those cooking lessons.
When we got done at the end of the seafood boil,
there was a shit ton of food left over.
There was a shit ton of food left over. 8 or 9 crab clusters.
And 4 pounds of shrimp.
Yeah. So we basically split that up between the 2 households.
Yeah.
And my mom made or sent out that she was making a bisque with it. My dad had kept saying chowder, so I think
your
chowder.
Your dad said we need to make chowder with these leftovers, so I already had concocted my chowder plan.
Yeah, exactly.
Your mom posted, hey, I made a bisque. I'm sticking with chowder.
Well, I think the next time we try a bisque too, that would be fun.
I think that there should be a next time, and the next time after that. It's bisque next time, and the time after that, let's do something even more fun with seafood.
Or do chowder again, because the chowder was fantastic.
Well, we got that seafood home, a bag of shrimp and a bag of crab. I put Hunter on task the next day I need you to extract this meat from this crab. So he's over there cracking and breaking, and he's a pro at it at this point, creating a container of crab meat.
Mm-hmm.
I de-shell the shrimp, put the shells in the Instant Pot, put the crab shells in the Instant Pot, water, celery, carrot, onion, just rough chop, real quick, onion, boom, green pepper, boom, bay leaf, boom.
So that was...
I made my first fish stock, seafood stock that I've ever made. Not hard to do because you know I make stock all the time. I might make some stock later tonight.
And you made it in the Instant Pot.
Made it in the Instant Pot. Quick do, 30 minutes. So for my beef stock or chicken stock, which is the exact same process but with chicken bones or beef bones instead of the shells. I was in a hurry, so I just did 30 minutes. I'll do the beef and the chicken 2 hours or longer even sometimes if I'm trying to get like a bone broth out of it. And then I had to, in order to make my chowder, rough chop up carrots, onions, celery, garlic. That goes into butter. Then I add my flour because I'm making a...
Rue.
There you go. So I made myself a velouté sauce. Of course,
velouté was the one that you used to make the chicken pot pie.
To make the chicken pot pie.
Look at me. Which, by the way, that Lily has said about four times.
I got in
she
trouble.
Missed the chicken pot pie.
I'm
and
in
you
trouble.
Better make chicken
yeah,
pot
I'm
pie
in
for
trouble
her.
Because when we decided to make chicken pot pie for the purposes of the podcast, Lily didn't happen to be here at the time. I have never lived that down. Tonight I said, hey, I went to the farmer's market. I bought 3 pounds of fajita meat. Coming soon on Dinner Table Talks, fajitas.
Yeah.
And she's like, can you do me a favor, please, and save those fajitas from when I'm in the house? And I was like, well, of course.
Because she only eats meat at our house.
If she yeah. cursed, if she used profanity, she would have said, because you effed me on the chicken pot pie.
Yeah. Yeah. And she only eats meat at our house. She actually, what she said was, it's not just about the quality of meat. It's just that she's trying really hard not to eat as much meat. It's a huge reason why I started it, was because I knew that I could limit the amount of meat consumption if I decided that I was only going to eat good meat. And she has done the same thing. And even more so for her, it's only half her life, because the other half of her life, it's not. I mean, they eat seafood over there.
Right.
And she'll eat seafood.
She gets her fill of seafood, no doubt.
Right.
So back to seafood. I've got my velouté. What makes it a velouté? It's the roux plus the clear broth. Mm-hmm. In this case, fish.
It was the stock
broth. But then
broth.
I throw a bechamel, or if you'd like to say Chalamet, twist into it by adding heavy cream. And there's your chowder. You put the chopped up shrimp in for the last 3 minutes of the cook. Dished into the bowl, and then I took a big old healthy handful of crab and put it right on top. Black pepper, dinner is served.
Yes. And then I insisted that we have a beautiful salad next
of
to
course.
It. And here, the reason why I'm telling that story, as if anybody cares about a beautiful salad, is because, well, first of all, we're not going out because we're trying to stay, we're social distancing. And so we're not going out to eat. But I love to go eat seafood where you get a beautiful bowl of like gumbo or chowder or something with a really nice, crisp, delicious salad. So I was doing like a soup and salad type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, they bring you out a big loaf of bread, you know, whatever.
I bought the big loaf of bread.
And I told you, bring
me. Well, the recipe said, well, don't forget a big crusty loaf.
You have begun cooking restaurant style meals here at home. And I said last night at the dinner table, I don't want to go out to eat dinner because you're making and. Then that goes back to the intermittent fasting, which makes it easier, which is one meal a day. Let's make it the bomb. Let's make it amazing. And your chowder was delicious, and it was restaurant quality with a restaurant quality salad and a baguette.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you what's going on. There's a shift occurring. Mm-hmm. We are leftover flush right now because I made so much chowder, at least half of it's going away into the freezer.
Uh-huh.
So that when it gets a little colder outside.
Yes. I'm excited about that.
I'm going to say, would you like some chowder?
Yes.
I don't got to do a thing except defrost a container.
Think about it. When you do your recordings for the other podcast, you have a night to not cook.
Right.
And we really need to figure out how to get our podcast on a night that we don't cook. But here's the thing. And I did mention this when you talked about how we were meat flush. Like we've got plenty of meat right now.
I've got plenty of meat.
Well, but part of the thing is that we're moving into the time of year when we just aren't going to, we're about to go through 3 or 4 months of no vegetables, no fruits, nothing. I mean, we're not going to have anything except anything that we saved.
Or buy at the grocery store.
Right. Or buy at the grocery store. And in that case, what I'm going to do is lean harder on meat.
And you want to lean on it?
Hilarious.
I've been crafting a joke for about 45 seconds.
Trying so hard.
Don't say hard. It's going to be the coup d'etat of all jokes.
Oh, yeah, I don't remember what I was talking about.
We need to lean into meat.
Okay, so, but this, the reason, just keep saying,
please.
Lean into meat. She's so serious about my meat.
Right.
This is when we get to eat those meaty dishes that everybody wants, but I say no to for like months and months.
What
and
do you
months.
Have in mind?
Well, when the temperature's cool.
What's
a
coming
little
up
bit.
On Dinner Table Talks?
Carne asada.
Okay.
Fajitas.
Fajitas we talked about.
Fajitas would be good for even with the produce that we have right now because the peppers, bell peppers are still going to keep coming. Yeah, like heavy, meat heavy things. Even still.
You're hearing a production meeting right now.
Yeah, even still, you just start to say, okay, well, what's the thing that we can cook that's meat with a good salad on the side? We'll just have to buy grocery store lettuce. You got to have some fresh produce. You can't just eat meat and carbs.
Nope.
You got to have some kind of fresh vegetable.
That's the reason
why we had this delicious carby with the leftover seafood chowder.
Chowda, Frenchie.
Chowda. But and alongside that, you got to have just a fresh... No one can see my arms as I wave them around.
This has got to be one of the freshest salads I've ever seen from all the gesticulation.
Anyways. No, I just think that, well, I mean, like, one thing I say no to a lot is just basic tacos. Because... Basic tacos don't call
You say no to basic tacos so well that I make them before you know that you need to say no to them.
But you can, we'll be eating some more. Will you be eating more basic tacos? And we'll be eating more.
Let's not do anything basic. I'm happy to lose some weight.
Yeah.
And I know that you're happy to see me lose some weight.
I want you to take care of yourself.
They say that the average American during Corona has gained 16 to 17 pounds. I was on my way into that before Corona, but I got sloppy and lazy and probably a little depressed at the beginning of Corona, if I really want to get honest about it. Mm-hmm. So the intermittent fasting, consult your doctor before you do it and all that crap that we got to say, just to whatever. What's the reason why it's working for us is that since everyone in the house is pretty much tuned into it, and Lily, who's not doing it, can fend for herself during lunchtime or any other time that she wants to eat. And because the science of it, when you research it, and you should if it's something that you want to consider, is that it's going to probably speed up your metabolism, definitely get you less calories in a day, unless you say, oh good, my window for eating is open, it's time for me to eat a half gallon of ice cream. No.
The reason
why but the reason why you're making this choice is to be healthier, and that would be a bad choice.
Well,
to make
what ends up happening, and see, I think that that's the thing I didn't mention earlier, is that my mom listens to a podcast by Jen Stevens, and she does the Delay, Don't Deny book. And I like to listen to her stuff because she talks to a lot of different wellness practitioners all across the country. And one of the things that she says specifically, Delay, Don't Deny, which is don't tell people they can't eat whatever they want. People can eat whatever they want. What happens is that your body starts to give you signals. And this is a thing I talked to my mom about for years. My body gives me signals. And if you aren't aware of the signals, then you don't know that upset stomach, diarrhea, vomiting, nausea, whatever, isn't normal.
And those are the extreme cases. There's probably more subtle signals than that,
I would assume. Those are not even extreme cases. People that have heartburn every day eat terribly. That's why they have heartburn every day. I'm sorry if that offends you. It's the truth, though.
I needed to ramp into it, and I did that unconsciously. I never said, today I begin intermittent fasting. And then after you had done it for a while, I realized that I was kind of following along. I've lost 9 pounds without even trying. And I've got, you know, a few more pounds to lose, but it is a thing that's going to work for me.
I enjoy it. I enjoy the one meal a day concept and then snacking when I'm ready to break fast with quality foods that I can buy at a farmer's market or produce in my own house, like pickled okra or candied pecans.
Or Oreos.
No. But you could. My mom and dad eat whatever they want. I mean, they really do. Mm-hmm. They eat whatever they want. But my mom, what my mom has said is that her body tells her that doesn't feel good. That didn't satisfy me. And so your body craves high protein and, you know, eggs and jerky and mixed nuts and guacamole and, you know, high protein, high fat.
If goodies. I don't ask you this question, we're never going to stop talking about this. Do you think we should do table topics?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to choose, if you don't mind, from the general categories box.
Okay.
Oh, this is pretty good. Which animal would you leave out of the ark? I take this question to be, what animal do you hate and wish didn't exist?
You see, I'm not going to be good at this question.
Why not?
Because every animal has value.
Okay. I can think of an animal that doesn't, that immediately leaps to mind. But you're first.
I guess if I had to choose something, it would probably be a rattlesnake.
But then you'd be quick to say that rattlesnakes carry a heavy weight in the ecosystem of, say, the West Texas desert.
The answer to that is yes, absolutely. But I can tell you that I don't need them on my farm at all.
Have y'all seen some rattlesnakes?
No, but you're always watching for them. And you're watching for other poisonous snakes as well. Water moccasins and the coral snakes and...
The animal that leapt to mind for me, and you tell me if this is...
You're going to say sharks.
Historically not. No, sharks are super valuable.
But you're super scared of sharks.
In the ocean ecosystem.
They are. They're going to eat Joe, though.
I'm not. I go to the beach. I swim in the water. Well, I don't even think about
what
that.
What would we but all I think wouldn't... if that was your end? Your end was by a shark.
If I get eaten by a shark and that's how I die?
End. That's your end.
I manifested it back when I saw Jaws in 1970, probably 8. That's the first time I saw it. The answer I was going to say, and you tell me if it's a cheat, and I'll come up with something else, is the mosquito.
No, mosquitoes are... No, you cannot get rid of the mosquitoes.
Why?
Because they feed a lot of things.
They feed things.
Everything eats mosquitoes.
Yeah, but mosquitoes are very, very much of a nuisance.
So? So are we. You know which animal I'd leave off the ark?
What's that?
Human.
Well, who built the ark then?
I don't know. Some other freaking fabulous ape could build the ark.
You tell me an ape that can build a boat, and that's a rich ape's owner.
Probably Noah.
Huh?
Noah was an ape, probably. Noah could have been an ape. If you could believe that Noah was an ape as much as you could believe that the ark actually, you know. I mean, I suppose I believe in everything, so I could believe that the ark happened, that really happened.
It was a miracle?
It could have been a miracle. Yeah, absolutely. Anything's a miracle. I mean, there's all kinds of miracles.
Okay, so you won't give me a mosquito?
No. No way. If a rattlesnake can exist in West Texas to help to lower the rodent population, and then mosquitoes feed all of the birds.
And bats and...
Everything. Mm. Yes. Get yourself a bat if you have mosquito problems.
Oh, you put on a leash? As long as if you create a nice home for it, it'll come home every night.
And you know what? There are listeners that are going, roaches, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I can give you a reason for everything to exist. Roaches exist because they are decomposers. Mm-hmm. You have to have decomposers. Otherwise, there would be rotting shit, smelly and stinky all around us all of the time, and it would make us toxically sick.
Did Noah enchant two roaches to come onto the boat, or were the roaches on the boat because roaches are everywhere? I could talk about this for another hour.
Noah?
Noah and this whole thing.
It's definitely something to think about.
How did he get all the animals there?
Yeah, but you're
it's
not
a Pied Piper
you're not,
situation.
You're not thinking with your anything's possible and possibility kind of mind.
Listen, I'm trying to figure out.
If you can
out...
carry around a box that can do all the communication. I mean, I don't care. Because
he
we've
texted the zebras no, that didn't live near him
no,
to show up?
No, but because we have invented the cell phone.
Did he take the ark from country to country to pick up indigenous species that weren't in the country that he was in when he built the ark?
Anything is possible. Okay. Anything is possible. How did the pyramids get built?
I don't know, but to show me the boat, the size of the thing that can get two of each animal that live only in the San Diego Zoo.
Only the ones in the San Diego Zoo?
Well, there's a lot of animals in one spot. And that's just a fraction of all the animals on the earth. This boat...
Well, maybe all the animals on the earth isn't the number of animals we have now. Because animals evolve. Species
they haven't evolved
evolve.
Since the time of Noah.
Who says? How do you know when Noah actually happened? Noah could have... I don't believe in
because it happened
in
the Old Testament
years.
After
that's
Genesis.
That's the part I don't believe in. That timeline is what's jacked
stop.
Up.
I think we should stop.
The timeline is what's jacked up.
I think
up.
We should stop before
no,
we...
No, that's not... That's fair. And you know what? I'm not afraid of losing an audience that can't have an honest conversation about the idea that we don't exactly understand the timeline of the Bible. We don't understand it. Because we don't understand the timeline of the Bible, anything is possible. Yeah, any of this stuff that has been reported could have happened.
But in my Bible, when I was a kid in Sunday school, there was like color photographs every 50 or so pages, and one of them was the ark, and that's what I know that it was. Did Noah enchant two roaches? Well, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Dinner Table Talks. We will be back next Monday with a fresh episode. In the meantime,
hit us up on social media, send us an email, DM us, whatever. We want to hear from you.
And we hope that you're enjoying the episodes as much as we enjoy creating them for you.
Well, it's certainly, if you think about, oh, you've got to make sure your kids eat something a day, and then we're feeding our kids sugary junk in the daytime, in the morning, which sets them out for a rolling battle all day long. You're making them hungry all day. You're setting them up for problems throughout the day. And we just haven't faced sugar the way we should face sugar.